If you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalms chapter 1. If you don't have your Bibles, you can look on the screen because it should be up there. And we'll go from there. So whenever you guys are ready, let me know. Anybody ready? Okay, sweet. Awesome. Hey, the title of today's message is Hanging with the Right Crowd. We're talking about the family plan, right? That's kind of difficult to say, the family plan. And we're going to talk about hanging out with the right crowd. It's important for you guys to hang out with the right crowd because the people around you are going to shape who you are and vice versa. So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, dig into the scripture to do it. Let me pray really quick before we read God's word, and then we'll get started. God, thank you for this evening. I just pray that that your truth would be revealed to us tonight, God, that your word would sink into our hearts, God, and that ultimately you'd be glorified, that this would shape our lives, that we would act upon what we're hearing, and just that you'd be glorified in all this. Thank you for your son. In his name, amen. All right, let me read it real quick. Psalms chapter 1. It says here, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff blowing in the wind. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Okay, that's what we're reading today. I'm all done. I'm just kidding. We're going to kind of go through it verse by verse and talk about it. Who are the two kind of people, I guess, we're talking about? There's two different people that we're talking about. Somebody give me an example of one of those. Not an example. Tell me who it is. Okay, the righteous and the wicked. How? Yes. Okay, good and evil. One was described as blessed, the man that's blessed, and then also talked about the wicked. So you, all those answers are correct. And again, we're going to talk about having good influences in your life, surrounding yourself with the right crowd. And rereading verse 1, I kind of just want to go through it verse by verse with you guys and just hit some points that God pointed out to me, and just want to share that with you guys, and then we'll talk about it together. It says, excuse me, Chick-fil-A is just moving around. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." And we're talking about a man here. But it describes him as blessed. It doesn't say like, this is a Christian or this is not a Christian or this person knows God or whatever. It doesn't say that initially. So let's talk a little bit about blessed. What do you guys think of when you hear the word blessed? What do you guys think of? Gifts? You're protected, okay. Any other answers? Like blessed. You think of the word blessed. What do you think of? Food? Amen, brother. Family? Being giving or given? Either. Okay, I like that answer. So we have a lot of different ideas of what blessed means. Blessed is one of those words that could mean a lot of different things. It has a different meaning depending on the context that you're talking about. Right here, talking about this man that's blessed, we have to have this starting point that we're talking about. And we're talking about this man that's blessed. But that word blessed here means full of joy. This man that's just full of joy, full of goodness, full of hope. And yeah, he's blessed. That's what we're thinking of here. But when we hear the word blessed, I heard the word gift. I heard giving. And so a lot of times we have this idea in our minds that blessed kind of walks alongside of the idea of getting something or giving something. And obviously when we are blessed by God, that's something that God has given us. But let's talk about what he's giving us, because it's talking about this man that's blessed, and it describes who he is, what he's doing, what he's like in those first three verses. But we need to see the true context of that word blessed. And the starting point for us in this in this idea of like who are friends, who are we surrounding ourselves with? It's talking about people that are blessed, and it's talking about the wicked. Who do you guys think you should be hanging around? The blessed, okay, or the ones following after God. The wicked are probably not the ones you guys want to follow. That's kind of an obvious, like, duh type thing. But let's get a little bit more into this word blessed. Let's see what this blessed person looks like, just to get a better understanding of it. Verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. Make sure I don't skip something. I'm going in through my notes in a bad order. But this guy that's blessed, it's not talking about necessarily what he doesn't do. We talk about the wicked. It's saying, here's the blessed guy, here's the wicked guy. Here's what the two do. But talking about the blessed man, it says he spends time with God. He's meditating in his word day and night, and he delights in the law. We talked about that word blessed being filled with joy. That delighting that he's doing is in the Lord. He's not delighting in things. He's not delighting in physical. He's delighting in who the Lord is, and he's meditating on the Lord. But when we read that part in verse 3, let's jump down there. It says, he's like a tree planted in streams of water that yields fruit in season. His leaf does not wither, and in all he does, he prospers. Let's leave the tree analogy off to the side. We'll come back to it. But it says, in all that he does, he prospers. And we hear that, and we hear blessed, and we automatically just start thinking these ideas of like getting stuff, those gifts that we talked about. And a lot of times we jump to this conclusion of, by being a good person, by following God, I'm going to get something out of it. You guys might not say that. I would never say that, but a lot of times I believe that. And it's not a proper belief. It's not a correct belief. And we're going to talk about why tonight. But when we hear blessed and when we think of that prospering, we're thinking probably in our minds this physical prospering, okay? Some of you guys might not be thinking that. But when I first read that, I was like, this man's blessed, he's loved by God, and he's going to prosper. And as soon as I heard prosper, I was like, yeah, he's going to do really well in life. That's what we kind of naturally think of. But let me read you a verse that counteracts that. It's John 16:33, if you could throw it up on the screen. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So this verse here in Psalms is saying, in everything he does, he will prosper. But this verse right here says, in the world you will have tribulation. Does it seem kind of a little bit like those verses clash, like they have two different ideas? It's okay to say yes. When I read that and I read this, I'm like, well, Psalms is telling me that I'm going to prosper, but then John is telling me that I'm going to have troubles. And it kind of puts us to this point where we have to sit and think about it, and it gets kind of confusing. So there's a clear issue here. The question could be asked, is this scripture like contradicting itself? Obviously, we believe it is not, and we're going to talk about why it is not. But that's a question that pops in our mind. So which one's correct? They're both correct. In the world, we are going to have trials. We are going to have tribulations. There's going to be things. That's a hard word to say, tribulation. I like struggle with certain words. That's one of them. But we're going to go through hard times. We're going to go through difficult times. So if we're talking about this man that's blessed, we're talking about how he's going to prosper. If we're going to have tribulation, but we're also going to prosper, obviously I think it's talking about two different things. When it says that we're going to prosper, I believe that it's saying that we are going to spiritually prosper. And here's why. Jump back up to verse 1 and verse 2. We're meditating on the Lord day and night. We're spending time with him. We're finding our joy in the Lord. So how are we going to prosper? We're going to prosper in the Lord. We're going to prosper spiritually. But when I read that verse, I think, oh, I'm going to prosper. And immediately my sinful mind just thinks of the physical things. Like, I'm going to do really well because I'm following the Lord. And we're kind of looking for things in the wrong place. Have you guys ever lost something? All of you have lost something. If you haven't, if you're not raising your hand, you're scared to raise your hand or you're lying. Okay, we've all lost stuff. And I have really, really, really bad short-term memory loss. You can ask Jess. Like, seriously bad. Like, I'll walk in the door, I'll set something down, and then I'll walk away. And then 30 seconds later, I'll be like, what did I do with it? Or me and you will be having a conversation. You'll say something to me, I'll listen to it, I'll respond to you. And 30 seconds later, I'm like, what did we just talk about? I have really, really bad short-term memory. And so all the time, I'm like, Jess, where did I set this? Or Jess, where is this? I'm always calling her. She gets so annoyed. I call her, like, she's working. She luckily works from home. So a lot of times I can just call her and just annoy her if I leave something at home and be like, hey, where is this? Where is that? But I call her all the time. And I would be really annoyed if I was my wife, which I'm not, because that would be weird because I'm a dude. But I call her all the time. And I'm like, I know that I set it here. Like, I know I did. I just did this the other day with her. I set something somewhere. I was looking for it. I was like, Jess, I know it's right here. And then she's like, okay, I'll look for it, but I didn't see it. And she looks and looks and looks and looks. And she's like, hey, I found it. But it was like in the living room when I told her it was like in the office or in the bathroom or whatever. And I do that all the time. I look for things, or I'll set something down. I'll set my keys down. And then I run out to my truck. Or I run into the room or whatever. And I like set them on the coffee table. And it's because I'm looking for that object in the wrong place. It's not that it's lost. It's that I'm looking for it in the wrong place. And I think we approach the blessings from God that way a lot. Because we read these verses. It says that he will prosper. And so we hear that and we're like, God, why am I not prospering? How come I'm at school and my friends are making fun of me, or I don't have any friends, or I'm going through a really difficult time in my family, or when you get in as an adult, my job's not going how I want it, or whatever. And we say, God, I'm not prospering. God, I'm not prospering. I'm seeking after you. I'm spending time meditating on you. I'm spending time in your word, but I'm not prospering. And it's because we're looking in the wrong place. Those blessings, that prosperity that's talking about, I truly believe is spiritual, because that verse in John says, you will have trials, you will have tribulations, you will have hard times on earth. So if you look at those two verses, it's going to seem like they don't agree, they don't get along, but they do. It's where you're looking, it's where your eyes are focused. Let's keep going. Let's jump down to verse 4. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Do you guys know what chaff is? Not like chafing, like when you go hiking and your legs rub together or something weird like that, or your arm or your armpits. I get like armpit rashes all the time. I'm just kidding. I made that up. Do you guys know what that stuff is? When they used to separate grain, like, you know, now we have machines that do it. But back in the day, they used to take the grain and kind of like grind it up in their hands, and then they'd throw it. And so the good grain would fall to the ground, and the wind would drive all the chaff. That's like the husk, like when you eat, okay, you guys ever eat popcorn? And then that little sliver, what is that like protective thing that's on the kernel? Goes down in your gums? You guys know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you understand what I'm talking about. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. That would be something not useful, okay? So that would be like the chaff. And a kernel of corn is very heavy, but obviously that little, I don't even know what you want to call it. The casing, we'll call it the casing. The casing of evil. The evil kernel casing isn't very heavy. So if I ground them together and threw them up in the air, the corn kernels are going to fall to the ground, and the evil corn casing is going to blow away in the wind. And it's saying that the wicked are like that. But it's saying that the righteous, or the one that is blessed by God, it says he's like a tree. You guys know that the big oak trees that are back here? Do you guys like, I'm not a tree hugger, okay? I'm definitely not a tree hugger. I'm like the opposite of a tree hugger. But I like trees. Like, I enjoy trees. I just am not like, save the forest. Don't cut the tree down. Because there's like a billion trees on earth. So I'm not a tree hugger, but I do like trees. Imagine how old those oak trees are behind the firehouse. You know, the huge ones? We could probably have three people try and hug it and just barely be able to touch our hands. It's a huge tree. And that's what the scripture is saying. We are like that tree that's planted by a river. It's not just a tree, but it's a tree planted by a river. A river is this never-ending source of water, unless it's a dry river, but then it's not a river. A tree planted by the river. This river is this never-ending source of water. Obviously, that source that we're talking about is God's word and his truth and his scripture. But when we're planted in that, when we're by that stream, that eternal stream, we're like that tree. So imagine the leaves that are on the back porch here. Imagine me just taking the leaves. I was actually going to bring a tree with me, and then I forgot this morning. Okay, we'll use this. I mean, it's not a real tree, so the analogy might fail. But imagine, in all seriousness, we'll pretend this is the chaff. But like, look at the sturdiness of this. See what I'm saying? You guys get the point. I know it's silly and it's goofy. I'm moving that out of the way so you guys can read this. But imagine the difference. Imagine a tree that's rooted deep, that's getting true growth from spiritual water versus the chaff. That's the difference between the ones that are blessed by God and the wicked. And just that analogy, I mean, it does a lot for me. It gives us a picture. Jesus spoke in parables. This is very similar to a parable that Jesus would have spoke. But we're talking about fruit. If you read, let me find it. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. Here we go again, my sinful mind, when we talk about fruit. Oh, something good comes of something good. Like, I did something good, here comes something good. And my mind jumps to physical. But if we're talking about spiritual things versus earthly things, if we're talking about spiritual blessing, we just said that those two scriptures are both true. The one that said that life's really, really going to be difficult, and the one that says that we're going to be blessed by God and we're going to prosper. If we're saying those two things are equally true because we're talking about two different things, the spiritual versus the not spiritual, that fruit is the same thing. If you guys are grounded deep in the word, if you're grounded deep in who God is, there is going to be spiritual fruit in y'all's lives. And I've seen it in a lot of you guys. And that's good. And that's great. And that's why it's important to surround yourself with other similar people that are those blessed, the blessed man that's following after God. And we'll talk a little bit more about who you're surrounding yourself with. But just remind yourself of that. That fruit that it's talking about is a spiritual fruit. It's a spiritual product of what God is doing in your life. We'll keep going. God does honor the good things that we do. I don't want you guys to think like, I'm going to stop doing good things, you know, but it's where you're looking. Like if you walk the old lady across the street, don't think that you're going to find $100 bill on your way. That's not like, sure, that might happen. I found a $20 bill on the ground one time walking to the bathroom, but I didn't walk an old lady across the street. It was just, you know, by chance. But when you guys do things to serve God, look for those blessings, because this is saying that we are going to be blessed from it. It's saying we are going to prosper. You guys are probably like, whoa, he's talking about like prosperity and getting all crazy. Yes, you are going to be blessed. You are going to prosper, but look for it in the right place. Look for it in the spiritual instead of the physical. I think I've beat that point like a dead horse. You guys get it, right? No. All right, well, we're just going to have to go over it again. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I like that. I've got one more verse. Joshua 1:8 says, therefore the wicked... Sorry, that's not the right one. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have a good success. Okay, that we talked about being prosperous and successful and all that stuff, meditating on God. That was kind of verses 2 and 3 in another verse in Scripture in Joshua, which is a really awesome book. You guys should go home and read it. But there's another place in Scripture where that kind of same sequence of events, spending time with God, spending time in His Word, meditating on Him, and then prospering. And again, we're talking about spiritual things here, not prospering physically from it. Let's keep going. I think with the idea being portrayed here, jumping back to having good influences, having people surround you that are a good influence on your life, it's obvious the difference between the two. I just stepped on the chaff. But seriously, who do you want in your life? Do you want people in your life that are like this, that are going to just blow away with the wind? Or you want people in your life that are an artificial tree? I'm just kidding. But the analogy is just the strength difference between the two. Who you spend time around is who you're going to become. It's true. Whatever. You guys can argue with me. You can argue with your parents. You can argue with your fire station leaders. But people influence you. You are very influenceable. Some of you are more influenceable than others, and some of you guys are just really strong and awesome people. But no matter what, you're going to be influenced by the people that are around you. That's why it's so important to surround yourself with people that look like this, people that are meditating on who God is and spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer with Him, seeking after God, because there is going to be fruit, and they're going to encourage you to do the same thing, and there's going to be fruit in your life. The wicked are not like that, and we're going to jump down and talk about why. In verses 5 through 6. So let's jump down there really quick. Therefore, the wicked, let me jump to 4 real quick. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I was talking a little bit with Rob about this. The wicked will not stand in judgment. And I first read it and it was, you know, like a little confusing. I was like, but we're all going to be judged. That word stand that's using is not like they're not going to be present. Because when I first read it, I was like, they're not going to stand in the judgment. We all have to be judged. I'm really confused. But that's not what it means. It's not saying we're not going to be present. It's saying they're not going to be able to stand. They're not going to be able to bear the load of that judgment. That's who the wicked are. It says, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That is a present tense thing, and that's also a future thing. The wicked cannot be before God. That's why you discipling your friends and sharing the gospel is so important, because at the end of life, whether it's a minute from now, whether it's a day from now, we could walk out of here and one of you guys might not be here next time we meet. I hope that's not true, but that's reality. And that's why it's so important, because this verse is also true. I'm saying everything that I'm reading here, I believe is true. I just like breathed in air and I told you I struggle with things, man. I can barely remember. I can't even remember how to breathe. Goodness gracious. I believe that is true. I believe that sinners cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous or of the blessed. And so that works for now and that works for the future. So in all of eternity, at the end, it's one place or the other. It's one group or the other. And that also means now, in all honesty, and you guys have probably felt this before, but people that aren't walking with God, I have a lot of friends. I've had my own ups and downs in life. But luckily, I've been around a really good group of friends. And when one of my friends or myself, I've done it myself, when one of them are messing up or choosing to walk their own path, they kind of start disassociating with you very slowly. You're still in contact with them. You still know them. But they kind of like pull away. You guys ever notice that? You don't have to say, yes, here's the person's name. Like, I'm not saying that. But I've noticed it in my own life, guys. We don't like accountability. When we're not following God, when we're not walking with Him, we don't like the accountability. And so I've done it myself, and I've seen it in friends. When you're walking with God and you have that source of accountability and you're choosing to do your own thing, you just naturally don't fit in, because I'm not saying it's like, oh, here's the Christian club, and if you're not in it, you're a loser. That's not what we're saying by fitting in. You don't feel a part of it because you're walking away from what you know as truth. And that's why it's so important for us to have accountability with each other and to lift each other up with scripture, to lift each other up with truth. Because this is real. Like, this passage is real. This scripture is real. It says in verse 6, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." And that doesn't say, like, God knows what the righteous people are doing and he doesn't know what the wickeder people are doing. He's saying he knows the way of the righteous. He's saying he knows them intimately. He knows who they are. He knows them. Like, I know Caleb or whatever. Like, he knows them, not like he knows who they are or he doesn't know who they are. It doesn't say, like, God doesn't understand who the wicked people are. But it says he knows the righteous intimately. He knows who they are. And who doesn't want that said about them? Who doesn't want that said about them? We desire to be known by God. But what I'm telling you guys is you have to have some sort of accountability in your life. We're talking about accountability. We're talking about having good influences in your life, hanging with the right crowd. If you don't have those people in your life that are constantly pushing you towards Christ, pushing you towards the gospel, when you're falling away, pulling you back in, because you need that just as much as they do. You guys need that just as much as they do. If you guys don't have that in your life, I would encourage you guys to begin thinking of friends like, hey man, I'm saved, you're saved, we love Jesus. Let's encourage each other. Let's pray for each other. You guys think, oh, well, I'm in middle school, I don't have to worry about it. Once I'm in high school, I'll probably have to worry about it. Like, start thinking about that stuff now, guys. Start encouraging each other. Start reading scripture with each other. Just start thinking about what matters, the spiritual things with each other. We're talking about the prospering versus the not prospering. We see in life all the time that the unrighteous prosper just as much as, like, we see all these really not great people doing really well in life, and we look at them, we almost have this jealousy. We're almost like, man, I really wish I was like that person. But you guys have to remember, that's not going to last. That's finite. It's not infinite. That's not going to last. What's going to last in y'all's life is following God, being blessed by God, and walking together and following after Christ. And let me read one more verse to you guys real quick, and we'll get out of here. It's Psalm 16:11. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures for more." And I know I've kind of beat some of these ideas like to the ground like a dead horse, but where God is, that's where presence is. That's where eternal presence is. That's where eternal joy is. And those pleasures forevermore are with God. And again, we're talking about the spiritual joy, the spiritual pleasure. Be looking for those blessings in the right places and have a source of accountability in your life. People that are encouraging you, that are pushing you towards Christ, and that you're doing the same thing with them. Because God knows the righteous. And that's not saying he doesn't know the unrighteous. He knows who they are. But he knows intimately the righteous. And if you want to prosper, if you want to be blessed, again, you're going to be spiritually blessed knowing who God is and following after him. The way of the world is not the positive that's reflected right here in Psalm 1. That's my encouragement for you guys. Sorry if that was too long or boring or annoying or whatever. But seriously, guys, think about it right now. Think about the people in your life. Think about the brothers and sisters that you have here. Think about those friendships. Think about your fire stations that you meet with. And begin to think like, man, let's do something more for each other than just hang out and goof around. Let's be a source of accountability for each other. And let's encourage each other towards Christ. That's my prayer for you guys. Let me pray really quick, and then we'll get out of here. God, thank you for this night. Thank you for your truth, God. I just pray that just that your word was conveyed and that your truth would sink into our hearts, God. I just pray that we would have sources of accountability in our life, and that we would be thinking about it right now, God. We want to be described as the blessed man, and we know that that joy and that satisfaction and that prosperity isn't going to be in the physical things, God. We know that we're seeking a spiritual joy and a spiritual satisfaction, a spiritual prosperity, God, and we're only going to find that in seeking you. And I pray that we would encourage each other in that pursuit of you, that we would just have people that we would pour our lives into, and that we would have people pouring into our lives, and we'd be pushing each other towards Christ so that we could be the ones that are known by God, that we could stand in his presence and be known by him. We love you. We thank you for your son. It's his name. Amen.